So my big impossible right now.
So my impossible is...
My impossible.
The impossible.
I think the impossible...
An impossible dream that I think we could pull off one day would be...
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories. Today's guest is Mark Irwin. He enjoys creating art, camping, and engaging with music. Mark is also the executive director at Ruth Ellis Center with a mission to create opportunities with LGBTQ plus young people to build their vision for a positive future. This is Mark's story. People who know you best will describe you as...
I would say... thoughtful, loyal, intentional, and a strong listener.
What about today's version of yourself would impress your 10 years younger self?
Not always needing to have the solution to a problem, but knowing who should be in the room to ask the right questions.
What's your most unpopular music opinion?
And this is what's unpopular about it. There is not a genre or style of music or artist that I'm not interested in exploring. I'm always just seeking that special performance, that special voice that I connect with. So it doesn't matter who it comes from or what genre of music it's modeled in, and I think people find that annoying.
When was the last time you danced so hard your feet were sore?
So I'm not a huge dancer, but I can give you some good shoulder action. But I will say, actually, just this past weekend was a friend's birthday, and we were in the backyard, even though it was like cold and rainy, and we had a bonfire and music playing really, really loud, and people were dancing, and I was giving the shoulders, and we were having a great time despite the weather not being what we had hoped. And it was just one of those really cool moments when you got to see people coming together and just embracing the moment.
What's the book, song, or movie that said the words you couldn't say?
Case of You by Joni Mitchell.
What gets an undeserved bad reputation?
Gas station coffee.
Fantastic. What's your favorite thing that someone you admire does?
They will seek joy and then fully embrace it.
Tell us about your impossible.
I have had the incredible privilege of experiencing so many different things in my life. And, you know, how I got to where I'm at and at Ruth Ellis Center and the work that I'm doing is not at all what I had originally intended. I was supposed to be a rock star. And so I think that my next impossible really is figuring out what's next, or at least how do I sort of synthesize all of those incredible experiences and turn it into the next chapter for myself?
Yeah. When you think about the work that the Ruth Ellis Center does, what are some of the ways that that's changing people's lives?
There's so much. I mean, from providing a beautiful apartment to a young person who never once thought that they would have their own safe space, their own sanctuary to call their own, and not have to worry about it being taken away, to connecting with individuals who really get it and celebrate them. But I think at the end of the day, what makes this work so extraordinary and so life-changing, not just for the young people that we work with, but for the staff and for the volunteers and for the broader community, is that authenticity and that deep connection to one another and recognizing what's really important in this life, which is that each one of us is unique and special and worthwhile.
What are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable at the time?
So you're going to get to see a vulnerable side of me. But I would say the ending of my first marriage was really, really tough. And I wasn't sure how I was going to navigate that or it. Yeah, what it would look like on the other side. It was a tough time.
Was there a point during your journey when you felt like giving up?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that I have incredible parents and, you know, growing up, we didn't always have it easy, but somehow they were always able to help us see the adventure in all of it. And so I think that that has been a guiding light for me throughout my life.
What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction, to use the fire in their bellies to bring their impossible dreams to life?
Visualize it. And then don't be afraid of the small steps, because every step that you take brings you that much closer. And before you know it, it will be there.
What do you look forward to the most in the next 12 months?
Summer, quite honestly, new adventures, camping, being outside. And we've got some really exciting things happening at Ruth Ella Center. So yeah, there's a lot of really wonderful things to come. Probably I would say in the next 6 months.
What's your next impossible, my friend?
My next, figuring out what I want to be when I grow up.
Love that. Who's someone else that should tell us their story?
Well, you've already met her briefly, but Nazarena has an incredible story.
In terms of how you ask the right questions and have the right people in the room, I think part of it starts with recognizing the fact that you are rarely the answer person. And that's really hard, because I think most people grow up in leadership because they have been the answer person. And so there's a practice of asking questions that I think is important for leaders to develop. And then I think it is about how you elevate belonging as a competency of an organization and invite different people into the room. And I think as you have a problem statement in front of you, understanding the constituents that have the most insight around that problem statement is critically important. You know, we often talk about listening as a superpower. And I know that sometimes people misunderstand me and think that what I'm saying is we should go to the lobbies and ask our members, hey, what do you think our newest checking account should be? You know, asking consumers for the answer is not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is asking consumers what their biggest problem is and marrying that with the competencies of your organization and your subject matter experts. That's the real sweet spot. How do you establish recruitment for this type of talent? You know, I think recruiting is something you should always be doing. And I think that in this world, it's much less about subject matter expertise, because subject matter expertise dies pretty quickly today. The very best human beings for our organization are those that are super curious, that want to solve big problems, that have the tenacity to do so, and I think have the commitment to reinvent themselves over and over and over again. You know, I think the idea that you might study something and then land in a different seat is increasingly important. And quite frankly, I think that organizations have thrived when they have the opportunity to have people that are bringing different perspectives, different expertise, different experiences to bear. And again, I think subject matter expertise is much less important than the ability to apply the gifts of learning and learning over and over and over again.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.